Welcome to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Chris Graham, and we're going to get into some local politics issues today. We have with us Brenda Mead, a member of Stanton City Council, and we're going to talk about the vote of City Council last week, a 4-3 vote. There's been a lot of 4-3 votes on that City Council in the last few months, and this one was to repeal an ordinance that allowed the City Council to meet virtually and also, by extension, also allowed community members to call in and participate in meetings. Brenda, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate it. And I'm enjoying the opportunity to speak with you and your audience.
So when I mentioned a lot of 4-3 votes lately, you're usually one of the three. That's been the case for a lot of issues since last May's elections. Let's get into this issue with the virtual meetings. Take us into maybe get a little history of the city voting to allow for virtual meetings. I know there's been a significant amount of money invested. Just take us into that history if you could.
Sure. It was when the pandemic began and the governor of Virginia issued it, the emergency order. The city then issued its own emergency order, the city manager did. And as part of that, City Council adopted this ordinance that would allow members of City Council to attend meetings via the Zoom platform. For the first few months of the pandemic, I guess starting in the March, April, May timeframe, all City Council meetings were conducted on the Zoom platform. When the council on the 1st of July, that switched and members of council who chose to be in chambers had to be accommodated. It meant social distancing, obviously. It meant that only there was only room for five members of City Council on the dais. And Carolyn Dull and I chose to continue to attend the meetings via the Zoom platform out of concern for our health, out of concern for our family's health, and because we felt that was it better conformed with the CDC requirements or suggestions. Dr. Laura Carnegie has consistently recommended that people not gather in large groups indoors. City Council chambers are not well ventilated, and when you have 5-hour meetings, that's just not a very comfortable environment.
Yeah, and I've covered City Council meetings there, and also the staff briefings that are held in the City Council meeting room behind the main chambers there, and in those meetings, particularly in non COVID times, I guess we say, you know, you're sitting around a really close around a table, and there are a lot of people in that room. So the option of let's continue with the virtual meetings, or at least allow those who want to attend in person to do so, allow those who want to attend virtually to do so. And then there's the aspect of community involvement. I mean, that's one thing that is difficult in a situation like the public emergency we're in right now. You know, in normal times, folks can show up at meetings, they can sign up, they can speak, they can see the meetings in person, that kind of thing. Again, because of the issues we're facing right now, that's not very well advised. So I know that there's continuation of the ability for people to be able to watch the meetings. The city sent out a press release yesterday saying that the next meeting will be available with streaming. But the ability to participate, it's one thing to watch, it's another thing to participate. And citizens being able to participate and actively talk to City Council, talk to the city leaders is important. And that's now been stripped away, right?
That's exactly right. It's the ability of people to have to listen to and watch what is being said in a city council meeting and provide contemporaneous response, not emailing members of city council who may or may not respond to their email, not making phone calls that may not get answered or returned, but actually being able to speak at the meeting to issues that are raised during the meeting and to hear the responses of other members of the city, other members of the public to what's actually happening in a city council meeting. So that has been taken away. And there are all those other means of communication, but they are not the same as having the ability to respond immediately and vocally to what's going on in a city council meeting.
Yeah, the city in the press release yesterday noted that you can send emails, you can send letters, you can do things like that. But as you say, I mean, you know, when you're sitting in a meeting, when you're at a meeting virtually or in person, as you're hearing information, maybe a staff presentation, a briefing, maybe you're hearing from an applicant for a rezoning or something like that. I mean, that's in real time, and your decision usually is made in real time. An email that comes in, a letter that you may get, a phone call you may get the next day, it's just not the same, as if, especially if the decision is already rendered. That's just, it just doesn't work.
That's exactly right. And the other aspect of this is that there are, can you hear me, Chris?
Because I can hear you, yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
The other aspect of this is that, you know, think about the single mother who has a couple of school-age children at home and who does not have the option of leaving at 7 or 7:30 and waiting through a three-hour city council meeting or a two-hour city council meeting till 9 or 10 o'clock at night and then being able to provide her input at that moment in time. Yeah. She can do that if she's at home. And think about it was distressing to me in the last city council meeting when a woman who is clearly elderly called to make a comment at the city council meeting. And as she was speaking, she suddenly stopped and asked, "Is this the last time I'm going to be able to call in my comments?" It just broke my heart to hear that kind of question. And the response she got was silence. I think that was eloquent. The silence was eloquent.
Yeah. Because I think that's a point you made last week. If I interpreted, I saw a quote after the meeting last week that you gave to one of the local media sources. I mean, right now, yes, in the here and now, it still maintains safety for folks who wish to, you know, remain safe at home and be able to participate in meetings, both as council members, as members of the public. But eventually, you know, we are going to get to a stage where things get back to some normal. But I think your point was, the technology's here now. The city's invested $200,000 in this technology. Your point there about a person who can't necessarily be at a city council meeting for 2 or 3 hours, but has input to offer and can monitor the meeting from home. Why isn't this the future? Why don't we allow this? This should be a good thing. This should be something we've learned from and be able to use in the future.
Exactly. You know, there was a book that was written, I think, the title of the book was something like, "Who Moved My Cheese?" You know? And so the cheese has been moved. The genie's out of the bottle. We have the capability. We have the technology. We've spent the money. I mean, that CARES Act money would have allowed us not just to respond to the issues related to the pandemic, but would have allowed us to expand community access to city council meetings. And it should that access should be expanded to every single public meeting that this city holds, whether it's the Planning Commission or the Lewis Creek Watershed Advisory Committee or, you know, all of the things in between. The public should be able to simply tune in and be involved with those public meetings.
Trying to reach local consumers for an affordable price? Augusta Free Press delivers more eyes on your message. No paywalls. Archives dating back to 2002. With nearly 100,000 followers on Facebook and 105,000 email subscribers, there's never been a better source for you to get your advertising message out. Advertise on AugustaFreePress.com, the most popular local news website. Get more information now at AugustaFreePress.com/advertise.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say I can't wait to go back to Blackfriars. I can't wait to go downtown, you know, shopping, eating, listening to music, whatever the case may be. But in the meantime, you know, after this is over, though, I'm going to continue Zooming with people because, you know, I do love getting out and seeing people. I want to go to concerts. I want to go to baseball games, everything else. But the convenience during the workday of this or in the evening of this is so great that, you know, I want to keep this after we get back to some normal here.
Absolutely.
It's a great thing. Yeah.
It's a great thing. Today, for example, I was on a meeting with other members of city councils all across the Commonwealth of Virginia, a presentation by the Virginia Municipal League. there was a time last year when if we wanted to get that kind of legislative update, we had to travel to Richmond, or we had to travel to Roanoke, or we had to travel to some other city, get in a car, spend the money, spend the time. You know, it is not just a convenience, it is a way to save money, a way to operate efficiently that we need to continue to offer through the Zoom platform. So my husband, for the last 5 years of his career in technology, did his job right here where I'm sitting now. His teammates were in Chicago, in Las Vegas, in Minnesota. They were all over the country, and they conducted business very effectively and efficiently in that manner. So I think it's the way of the future. And so we've got to quit holding on to the 20th century. We're two decades into the 21st century. Let's get with it. You know,
it could be part of our economic development strategy. Live here in Stanton and Waynesboro in the Valley, and remotely work. I know quite a few people who do the same thing your husband did for the last 5 years of his career there, who live here and work nationally, internationally. We get their brain power and their earning power, and they don't have to travel as much. And so, why can't our city councils?
We get their spending power.
We get their spending power. Yeah,
that's right.
Why can't we do the same thing with our local government? Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And what does it say to a technology company that may be thinking about making a data center, for instance? What does it say to those companies when the members of our city council simply resist what is today's technology and what is the way of the future? What does it say to those folks that we're some backwater and that, you know, they'll just stick with Northern Virginia, or they'll stick with something, you know, closer to major population centers? And what a shame that is, because this is a beautiful place to live, not just for retirees, but it's a beautiful place to raise families. We've invested millions of dollars in upgrading our high school. Our superintendent of schools expects the quality of our schools to attract people to move back into Stanton, move to Stanton from other places. Companies will look at the quality of our schools and decide, is this what we want to offer our employees? Or should we take the safe bet and put our businesses in, you know, metropolitan Richmond or the eastern part of the state or the metro DC area? I'd love to see Stanton be at the top of that list of choice places to be in the Commonwealth.
And we should be. All the investments made in the last 25 years downtown, in the city in general, and as you mentioned, in the schools, it's a great place to live. So what I've mentioned, the 4-3 votes and the run of 4-3 votes on important issues in the last several months. What's the next step, Brenda?
Well, the next step is, I find myself in this position of being in the minority on many, many votes. Now, that's not to say that we haven't voted together to adopt ordinances, to approve special use permits. We've done many things all as a body, as you know, in a 7-0 or 6-1 vote. But there have been these times when I have felt an obligation to listen to other members of the community who the folks from the minority community who want to see more steps toward equity for minorities in the community, the folks in the community who are concerned about continuing to expand the jail rather than invest in programs that would reduce recidivism, programs that would reduce the rates of incarceration that we have, not just, you know, hire an architectural firm and have them do a study of how to solve the problems of the jail. And what do you get? You get bricks and mortar, right?
So you get more jail. That's what usually they consult
with. That's exactly what you get. So, you know, I'd like for the jail authority to step way back and take the input from the community, ask for the input from the community, begin a more, I guess, holistic process of evaluating our system of incarceration, work with the Commonwealth's attorneys, work with the police department, you know, bring all those resources together and find solutions to our problems.
More input, not less, basically, right? We want to hear from more people and more.
That's exactly right. Yeah, exactly right. And I don't think it's my job to go into a city council meeting and follow the majority. So I will speak my mind. And there clearly has been a shift in the I guess political dynamics of our city council. But I still feel I have an obligation to speak my mind, and I will speak my mind. I will not be silenced. No one can say that because I don't agree all the time that I'm intentionally disagreeing, because that's not the case. These are things I believe in. I vote the way I believe, and I vote the way I think the constituents that I represent would want me to vote.
Well, keep it up, and we'll keep up with you, Brenda, as other issues pop up. I mean, we've been monitoring from afar. I say from afar, all the way over here in Waynesboro, where Augusta Press is located. But we definitely want to keep our readers and listeners educated as to the issues. So thanks for joining us today, Brenda, and let's keep the conversation going.
Thanks. I'd like that, Chris. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Street Knowledge with Chris Graham. Get up-to-the-minute local news, politics, and sports online at AugustaFreePress.com.